The Theonauts Podcast.
Christian news from around the globe.
In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth.
It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter.
Explore the vast reaches of God's Word.
Welcome to episode 8 of the Theonauts. I'm David Gaddy.
And I'm Jeremiah Orr.
And together we are the Theonauts. Yes. Back from our hiatus.
Man, it's been crazy. Let's see, how long?
A couple of weeks.
Yeah, 2 weeks.
A couple weeks now. Man. So sorry for the delay, guys. we had one person on a forum that I'm on. And he was sending me a message on there. Where's my Theonauts episode? So, Seven Lives.
That's right.
That's his name.
Seven Lives.
Seven Lives. We are back
with a vengeance. Hardcore.
So okay, well, we were gone for a couple of weeks. Jeremiah had a death in the family, and had to be gone for that. And then last week I went on a mission trip to Haiti. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But
hung out with the Haitians.
We had a lot of stuff happen during since the last recording we had.
Yeah.
We went to Dallas Comic Con together.
Yeah, that was epic.
Awesome. So,
and I didn't even mind showing up with David in his Hello Kitty outfit. I thought it was pretty cool. I'm joking. Yeah. I kid. He didn't have Hello Kitty. What was it? Wonder Woman?
Yeah. with a beard. What's so funny is I've seen Wonder Woman with a beard.
That's got to be an amazing
sight. One of those things before. So funny. Yeah, it's like if you go in cosplay and you're going to dress up and go to one of those things. I think it's just cool to go as something wacky,
totally outrageous
like that.
Nobody would find it.
So was that your first Dallas Comic Con?
Yeah,
you had been to.
Oh, I've been to Chicago. Comic Con, which was kind of like it, but Dallas was. Let's see, how do I say this? It was more crowded. It was crazy, man.
Yeah.
Everybody. It felt like the whole city was there. It's pretty cool.
Well, they do that in Dallas like 3 times a year. They call it different things. It's the Comic Con in spring. It is the, I believe, the Fan Days in the fall. And then in the winter, it's Sci-Fi Expo.
Right.
It's relatively the same thing each time.
Right.
But let's see, who all was there this time?
I got
Stan Lee's autograph on my Star Wars number one comic book from 1977.
Epic. And then sent it in to be graded, right?
Yeah. So I still haven't got that back yet.
Oh, man. I'd love to hold that in my hand once you have that back. It's pretty cool. In Chicago, I got my picture taken with Stan Lee. It's up in the man cave in my garage. Pretty epic. I love it. It's pretty neat.
So, we got to geek out a lot.
Oh, yeah. So many people were there. So, let's see, like half the cast of The Next Generation was there.
That's right. Everybody except for Patrick Stewart, from the main cast was pretty much there.
Exactly. I just stood back in the back of the line, and there were times when like nobody was there getting autographs, and I would just look over there and go, that's like literally Jordy LaForge. He's 20 feet away from me right now. I could just walk up and talk to that dude if I wanted to. I was kind of starstruck. I was really starstruck. The one that got me the most starstruck, though, was Alice Cooper.
Alice Cooper was there. did you say something about like he's converted to Christianity?
Yeah, he's a faithful.
I didn't look that up to see if that was that was legit.
But. He gives his testimony and all that. It's pretty interesting, but. Like the whole, he doesn't do that much touring or anything. I guess he does sing, he does some concerts, but not much anymore. And he, of course, he sings his old songs and everything, just because, I mean, he's Alice Cooper. Like, Right. You know, right. You've got to make some money off of that.
Man, I wish I had known that. Yeah. Because his line was really short.
Oh.
And I so would have gone over there and done a Theo Knotts interview.
Yeah, that would have been great to do. Maybe next time.
That would have been awesome.
I hope he comes next time.
So I guess next time we'll have to do some research as to which guests are... You know, claiming Christianity, yeah. So we can talk about something.
Well, it was cool though. I was walking by, it's kind of random at chance, and I'm a big. The number one thing I look for whenever I go to any kind of fan expo or Comic Con is Ninja Turtle stuff. I'm a huge Ninja Turtles nut, and I mean, I'm not to the point where I've gotten a tattoo yet, but I'm very close to getting one. My wife does not want that.
Like a big turtle shell.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Right in the middle of your back.
Yeah. Well, I actually saw a dude that had his whole leg shrouded in all four of the turtles. Yeah. It said Turtle Power on it, and that was pretty cool. But yeah, a turtle shell would be epic. And then to have like the swords, yeah, you know, yeah, kind of thing. Oh, so cool. But no, so I'm a big Ninja Turtles nerd, and... So I'm walking by, and I just noticed that there's a guy there that's one of the artists on the new Ninja Turtle comic book, the Nickelodeon one. There's two Ninja Turtle comic books. There's the IDW one, which is the kind of the older, grittier one.
Right.
And Kevin Eastman actually works on that one. And that's the one I collect. But this other guy, he has... Nickelodeon has their own line for younger kids, right? That's definitely not gritty. It doesn't have the Ninja Turtles killing people like in the older one or anything like that. And but one of the artists is there, and so I just walked up and grabbed a book and had him sign it for me. And he's like, dude, this is... What do you think of Comic-Con so far? I'm like, man, it's pretty awesome. Thanks for signing, you know. Thanks for signing this, by the way. And I'm like... I really like it, except for there's a couple people. Dan Slott, who was scheduled to be there only on Sunday, and Mark Bagley, and they both work on Spider-Man. And right, I'm also a big Spider-Man nerd, and I was going to get my stuff signed. But Sunday, I kind of have to work on Sunday, you know. I'm a youth pastor.
Go figure.
Do worship. So, yeah.
Like Ninja Turtles don't take precedence.
Exactly. Ninja Turtles don't take precedence over God. So, I'm like, you know, I wanted to be here on Sunday, but I couldn't. And he's like, why not? And I'm like, well, I go to church. He's like, yeah, that's why I go to church on Saturday nights. I'm like, cool, so you're a believer. He's like, yeah, I'm a believer, I'm a follower. So it was really neat.
Oh, and that is cool.
Just kind of a little connection in the middle of that,
yeah,
that whole thing. But so cool. There's a Ninja Turtle artist out there that believes in Jesus. Pretty neat.
Well, you know, there was basically the whole cast from Firefly.
Oh, yeah.
Was there. The only one that was, well, a couple of them were missing that had to drop out at the last minute, but Nathan Fillion was there.
Yeah.
And, of course, everyone knows him from Castle now, but, you right, know, us geeks, we go back to the Firefly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
So, but, yeah, they had that going on, and, I mean, it was just packed full. Anime, if you're into anime.
Adventure Time.
Only the guy that did the voice for Finn on Adventure Time.
Yeah, that's right.
But yeah, and half the fun is just seeing all the people in the costumes. Man. That was just amazing.
Yeah.
To see all that.
So you saw the guy with just carrying the gigantic cross, right?
Yeah, yeah. I didn't know if that was from something. I think Kevin, my son, recognized it.
Right. He got a picture of it. That was pretty interesting. Yeah. So yeah, that was cool. I loved it. I had a blast. I'm definitely going to go back again.
Spent too much money.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, you can just go in there with $100 and spend it in 10 minutes.
But yeah, I guess we've geeked out a lot since the last episode. Because, see, then we went to go see Godzilla.
Wait, before we talk about Godzilla, I have to tell you where David took me right after Comic-Con to eat lunch/dinner. So this really convinced me that I might not have what it takes to be a foreign missionary.
Seriously, because that was tame.
Yeah, it was very tame. I know that. We went to an authentic, not like China King Buffet or anything like that. We went to an authentic Chinese restaurant where I doubt our waitress spoke that good English, yeah, or anything like that, and I mean, literally pig entrails and all this other stuff were on the menu. And,
yes. And I'm pig going, intestines.
Yes.
Yeah. Sow ear.
I'm like.
Like, they weren't wasting any of that pig.
Inside, I'm like, oh, what am I going to get here? Because I was starving. I was so nervous. But it turned out it was pretty good. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
But still, whenever I walked in, I'm thinking, you know, God, I hope you really don't call me to, like, India or anything, because I'm going to die or lose 100 pounds, which might be okay.
Right.
So either way you go. But anyway, so I just had to throw that in there, a little shout out to the China place we went to.
First Chinese barbecue in Richardson, Texas.
First Chinese barbecue. It is not barbecue.
I just love
Texas barbecue style.
It's very original names.
It's great.
But
so anyways, yeah, we did go to see Godzilla.
Yeah.
Which is an epic movie too.
So did you enjoy that?
I loved it. It was one of the best movies to just sit there and not think about the plot, but just watch it because it was cool to watch.
Mm-hmm.
But if you think about the plot, like, think about it for more than 5 minutes, the whole thing just...
Yeah, dude, it's Godzilla.
It falls apart.
It's like, this is the thing that started as a guy in a rubber suit making a social commentary.
Right, absolutely.
So, you know, but yeah, I enjoyed it. I thought it was really good. It wasn't overly, like, overdone.
Right.
Like, most of these movies now, it's like the louder and splashier you can make it, the better. And I'm not a fan of that.
Right.
So, like these Transformer movies are just loud, and it's everything. It's like, you know, give me more story and give me less. But anyway, I enjoy the old Godzilla movies.
Yeah.
So they gave you plenty of flash. There's a lot of people complain that Godzilla himself wasn't in the film enough.
Yeah.
But it wasn't too bad for me. You know, there was plenty of him. It just is, you know, they did a lot of character development, which was surprising for a movie like this.
They really did a lot of character development. But I like what you said. You know, the 2000, I think it was like 2000 or 99, 98, whenever it came out, that, do you remember the Godzilla movie that came out?
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was
so
with Matthew
horrible.
Broderick.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, I hated it. I just couldn't stand it. I was very frustrated. I wanted my money back at the end of the movie. And but one of the reasons why I couldn't stand it so much was because the plot was just way overdone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, way, you know, it's just so, oh, they have eggs, and the eggs are going to hatch, and all this other stupid stuff.
Yeah, it was a bunch of weird stuff.
Yeah, but, you know, when they just took Godzilla for what Godzilla was, he's this gigantic monster, and then they turned it on its head and made him the hero of the story.
Right.
Right? And you're like, oh, so, you know, everybody's cheering on Godzilla in the end.
Which happened in some of the old films, you know.
Oh,
the original one was... Gojira. And but then it was remade like 2 years later, and, well, it wasn't remade, it was spliced together with Raymond Burr in certain scenes to make it halfway American. And it's just, you know, Godzilla's the bad guy, obviously, and he dies at the end of it, which is, you know, strange that there's all these sequels, but in some of those sequels, you know, Godzilla was the good guy. He was, you know, saved the city from the other attacking monsters.
Yeah, which was pretty cool. They had those weird parasitic gigantic monsters. Pretty neat.
Mm-hmm.
But and I love the whole EMP thing they did. That was really neat.
Yeah,
it's pretty cool. But I just thought it was great. Let's see. I went and watched another movie. We went and watched X-Men. Have you seen?
Yes.
Did you watch that?
Yes. That was... I went and saw that also. That was really cool.
Yeah. It was probably my favorite X-Men movie.
Yeah, me too.
But, you know, I'm not a big fan of the whole franchise because they've chopped it up so many different ways, you know?
Right.
And kind of like, it doesn't mesh together. Marvel, for instance, when, you know, when Marvel did the movies, Captain America... And the Avengers series, Thor, everything fits. It has a congruency. Marvel's really good at that with their congruency,
almost to a fault,
right?
Because they like tease, you know, this is going to be in the next one, and
right?
They string it out too much a little bit.
But, oh yeah, that's true.
But I do see what you're saying. It was really cool the way they tied them all together.
Right. Well, with this one, 21st Century Fox, they give it to this guy. Who goes, you know, with his own idea, and then they give it to another
Bryan
guy.
Singer.
Yeah, and it never fits together. So I was pretty impressed with Bryan Singer did the Days of Future Past, right? Or is that a new guy?
Yes, no, he did it.
Yeah, he did mm-hmm. the last one. So I was really impressed with him trying to make it go back into congruency, and I like the fact that it started everything over again.
Yeah,
which is,
well, it's kind of like what they did with Star Trek, right? Yeah. They kind of rebooted it, yeah. Like, hey, we can do whatever we want now because we've changed the history of the characters.
That's right.
Right, but yeah, I thought it was really, really cool. So, what do you think the social commentary is on the X-Men? Because it's changed a lot. You know, the X-Men that came out in the 60s.
Well, it used to be the social commentary.
Stan Lee and Jack Kirby created the series, and it was just a handful of characters in it. But at that time, it had one type of social commentary, and now I think it's really starting to adapt.
Oh yeah,
a different one. So, what are your thoughts about it?
Well, okay. So, the social commentary I think you're referring to, of course, is racism. I believe that was the big number one thing back then. They were big on, you know. And it fit perfectly. The X-Men were these mutants, right? Mm-hmm. Who
were different than everybody.
Different from everybody, so everybody's outcast. You know, outcasting them. Some people support them. Other people. Most people outcast them. The government's working on ways to make laws to, you know, segregate them from the mm-hmm. community. Mm-hmm. And then you have Days of Future Past, which was the epoch of that whole commentary, the original Days of Future Past,
right.
Which had Kitty Pryde. Do you remember that? Kitty Pryde coming to the...
She's in this movie,
right.
But she helps Wolverine do what she did in the comics.
Right. Yeah. So in the comics, she goes back. And she, you know, warns everybody about the Sentinels and all that, not to assassinate Gene Kelly. That was the warning. And so, anyways, and that happened. But the whole, you know, the whole social commentary on racism, judging somebody on their outward appearance
mm-hmm.
or on their, you know, who they are, has now, of course, because we're in the new... It's taken on a whole different, you know, the homosexuality.
Right, I agree. They're definitely aiming it there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Bryan Singer is homosexual, so that makes a lot of sense why there's all these references to that in this movie. But, you know, going back to the original, it was about racism, but, you know, Stan Lee and Jack Kirby are both have Jewish roots.
Right.
So it was more about anti-Semitism more than anything.
Well, yeah, I mean, Magneto was a Jew.
Right, and that's why that still carries over. I mean,
right.
you still got all of that that storyline of Magneto, and I mean, it's still anti-Semitic. You know, it's about, it still has ties to that. I do think they've migrated it into the whole homosexuals aren't treated differently. The weird thing to me is that if that's your message, your mouthpiece is the crazy guy, Magneto. Because he was like, he's on television going, come out.
Right.
Mutants, come out. You know? And
we are the superior race. We're the better ones.
And Mystique is saying things like, mutant and proud. You know, they're using the same... like vernacular.
And
of course, you know, they did the same thing though in like the first X-Men, X-Men 2 especially.
Sure.
They had references to that with the kid, you know, being a mutant and his mom and dad saying, have you tried not being a mutant? You know? And all that sort of thing.
So funny.
So, but you know, putting that aside, I think it's a really good concept. I really, because you know, you think about it, the humans are kind of treated as in the film as intolerant and blah blah blah. But think about it, you got a guy who, okay, in X-Men 2, the very first scene, one of the mutants pops, just, you know, because he can transport, just pops into the White House and tries to assassinate the president.
Exactly.
That is a risk. I mean, are the humans not justified in saying, wait a minute, we got to control some of this?
Right, exactly. I mean, what do you do with that? So, you know, I like the Avengers because the Avengers answer it by, hey, we have our own. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
Which is great. But, you know, it's really interesting you bring that up. One of my news stories is about this that's coming out in full force right now in California, which we'll get to in a second. Yeah. But it's all about, you know, what do you do with this? Is homosexuality the new civil rights movement?
Yeah. Well, it's definitely being
viewed that way.
It's definitely being
portrayed
that way in the media. Yeah. So, but yeah, aside from that, man. Okay, so I went to Haiti last week.
Yeah.
Okay, so I want to talk about that just a little bit because I don't know how you guys as listeners feel about foreign mission work, but
I'm against it.
So you can be against it. But I'm all for it.
That's good.
And
foreign missions.
what got me started with the whole thing was I went to Haiti in 2010, right after the earthquake, to help with the earthquake relief. And what I saw changed my life. I mean, because I had been working in this mindset of, hey, we're not following Christ enough here in America. We're not doing enough. We're not, and I don't mean this from a works-oriented salvation type of thing, but I just mean we're sitting back on our laurels and not following Christ. And Christ was all about, hey, get up and come follow me. Pick up your cross and follow me. Yeah. And so, you know, like whenever he'd go to the Sea of Galilee, he didn't tell the guys that were out there on the boat, you know, hey, you guys, I'm here, nice to meet you, and move on. He was like, follow me. And they all dropped their livelihood and just came on. And so I think that's one thing that's missing a lot in today's, especially American Christianity.
Sure.
And so I had already been looking into when Jesus' statement about helping the least of these. You know, he would say, you know, whenever he's doing the whole Judgment Day thing we talked about, and he's looking at the ones and saying, I was hungry, and you didn't give me anything to eat. I was thirsty, you didn't give me anything to drink. And then he says, if you didn't do it to the least of these, mm-hmm. you haven't done it to me.
Right.
And I always think about that term, the least of these, my brothers. What are the least, the ones that are the least of us? Mm. They're the ones that are in the most need. So, who's in the most need? And I guess that's why I kind of have been thinking in terms of foreign mission work, because even though I do believe that Christianity needs to be everywhere, I mean, here, locally, and abroad,
Amen.
Everywhere. So, I mean, I do think that there's, it's all applicable, but where am I going to start? Okay, yeah. I want to start with the worst. I want to start with the ones who are just an absolute... they've got nothing, and they've got nowhere else to go. And so, that was really pulling on my heart because I work in the Dallas area a lot, and I'm driving around there, and I'm seeing guys holding up signs that say, you know, need money for beer. I'm like, to me, that's not the least of these. I mean,
it may be funny to get some money, but yeah.
Right? So, anyway, I went to Haiti in 2010 because this was already starting to be on my heart, and then that happened, and it was just the timing was just bam. So I had an opportunity to go. I went. Seeing everything I saw over there just changed my life completely and how I viewed humanity, how I viewed my fellow man, and how Christ works in us and through us. And then I saw so many miraculous things happen the week I was there, you know, And you know, I get back, and then I'm hearing Pat Robertson saying,
"It's
Haiti deserved it. It's God's judgment on the Voodoo Nation." And I'm like, seriously, you didn't meet the people that I met. That was not anyone who views it that way is not opening up their eyes.
That's right.
God loves these people,
and not only that, but I'd like to point out the fact that, you know, whether or not it's God's judgment is not our place to say at all.
Amen.
Instead, our our place is what? To rush over there and show them God's grace.
Yeah.
And show them God's love.
Well, you know, mercy. The Pharisees were really big about saying, if bad things happen to you, it's because you did something bad. Look at Job's friends. That's what they kept telling him.
That's right.
You must have done something bad. There's no other explanation. Okay, so what happens to the guy in Jesus' story of the Good Samaritan? He's a Samaritan, right. Okay? He's a piece of trash.
Obviously, this is God's judgment.
You know, so here you've got all these the priests and the Pharisees going by and not doing anything. Why?
Well, because that's a Samaritan.
And it could be indifference, but aside from that, they probably expected, well, he deserved it.
They viewed that as he was God's anathema.
And Jesus was saying, no, the guy who stopped and had compassion, had the ability to do something, was aware of a need, and made a movement toward fixing it
in some way.
So to me, that applies worldwide at this point. We have global media. We have global transportation. We're aware of a need. We have ability to take care of it. And we are called to do these things.
You ever hear some of these facts, like if a mega church would turn off its lights? I read this in an article This is like in 2005 I read this.
Mm-hmm.
If a mega church would turn off its lights for in the span of like, I think it was 6 months, save all the money they were spending on their power, the electricity, what it took to run all their stuff, their media, all of it,
mm-hmm.
and took that and gifted it over, it would feed people in Uganda for like 10 years or something.
Oh, yeah. It doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah.
I read a book before the whole Haiti thing by Richard Stearns, who's the president of World Vision.
World Vision, yeah.
He wrote a book called The Hole in the Gospel.
Yeah.
And it's basically talking about how we're too busy fighting amongst ourselves to be doing anything.
Yeah.
And in it, he gives a lot of statistics, and one of them being, like, if only 2% of the amount of money that is given to churches in the coffers, only 2%, was all gathered together from every church in America, it would eradicate starvation across the world. I mean, that's just crazy.
Why? Why aren't we doing that? That's the question.
Well, and I think a lot of it has to do with biases and borders, and there's just a lot going on.
I think it's disgusting to God.
So
that's scary.
Well, it has to be. Yeah. And so anyway, because this was on my heart, and I went over there and saw what I saw and did what we did, and I saw God working in it so much, I was moved when I came back to form a small little 501c3 company.
Sure.
And to go back there and help some of the people that I've met over the years. And so I go over there every few months now. It was, you know, I had a couple of years there where it took a while for me to get everything going. But
right.
But now we're going over there pretty regularly, and we went over there this past go around, and what we did was there is a group that I've become friends with in a small village outside of Carfou, which is a suburb of Port-au-Prince. And this little village is out in the mountains, mm-hmm. and it's a very faithful community. Christianity has just run over that country, the whole country.
Yeah.
It's gone. It went from 80% Voodoo Nation prior to the earthquake to 80% Christian, Protestant Christian now.
That's awesome.
So it's just a complete turn. It's just like wildfire going across the country. Yeah. And this particular area is so cool because it's all homegrown. It's Haitians teaching Haitians.
Wow.
There's no American or Western influences in a lot of it.
Wow.
So, like the little church that I've been visiting with, they don't wear a denomination. They don't wear their sign in front of their building says this in their language. It says, "The blood of Jesus." Bam, bam, bam.
That's awesome. Bam, bam, bam. That's so good. We've got to do that in our side. Wow.
So, and that type of thing is just amazing. You go worship with those people, and it's like, it's from the heart. It's so genuine, and it's so grassroots. I mean, there's like, they don't have the guy in the three-piece suit standing, you know, up above mm-hmm. everybody else, and you don't have everyone sitting in straight pews and looking forward. And, I mean, it's just crazy how much the Spirit moves in there. And, wow. and I've seen so much stuff happen. But we went over there, and this little village contains several little homegrown churches. It also contains an orphanage and a small little ministry that one of the translators I met started on his own. And this little ministry, all he's doing is taking care of children who can't afford to go to school, which mm-hmm. is most of them.
Wow.
So these little kids are signing up for his little ministry, and what they do is they come every Friday and he teaches them English. And then on Saturday, they play us a soccer game up on the hill in this little soccer field they got. And then after the soccer, well, it's not just soccer. They also have yard games, like schoolyard games that they play. And they teach them Bible songs and stuff like this.
Cool.
And then after the games, they pull them all together. And they all sit together on top of this mountain. And this one of the Haitian teachers there teaches them Bible stories. And he teaches them the gospel.
Wow.
And so then they go, they all together go down the mountain to a courtyard of a little home that this guy rents. And they feed them. They give them all a heaping plate of food. And for most of them, this is the only meal they'll have that day.
Wow.
So because they're not a 3-square meal a day type of group
right.
of people. They're I'm not sure what the average is, but it's well
under that.
It's very a malnourished country. Wow. So so anyway, when we went over there, we went to one of the orphanages. We bought them like 4 sacks, like 55-pound sacks of rice, and we painstakingly carried those because there's. You walk everywhere in this village. You don't drive anywhere.
Wow.
And so we carried them down one mountain from where we bought it, up another mountain to where the orphanage was. And so we brought them food and we played games with them, sang songs with them.
Yeah.
And of course, they're all excited to see the Blancs.
Yeah.
That's the white people
wow.
that show up from America. And so
the Blancs.
That's what the they Blancs. Call us. Blanc. You know. I heard one of the Haitians getting on to him about that one time. He was like, "How would you like it if they were calling you, hey, black?" But it's a term of endearment. So
yeah, sure.
I enjoy it. But and then what we did is we brought these kits that my wife had gotten involved in a project called Days for Girls, which is about feminine hygiene.
Oh.
We don't even think about the fact that in these countries, they don't have access to feminine hygiene products the
wow.
way they do here in America. So what happens is these women, whenever they have their time of the month, girls and everything, they can't go to school. They can't go to work. They can't do anything but stay shut up in the home. And so you basically give them their life back with some of these. So
right.
this Days for Girls thing does these type of kits that can be washed and reused and that sort of thing. And so my wife and several other women that went with us held a class to teach them about hygiene and to teach them how to use these kits. And they distributed 100 of them.
Wow.
And this place was full, a little church building, just packed with women. And the pastor guy there that was running the church, he came out and he was like grinning from ear to ear. And he was just saying to me, they're so happy. That's all he could say.
Oh, my goodness.
And but, yeah, it was just amazing. And then we went and we helped them with the English class, which is always kind of fun because they just kind of throw us to the dogs because – the translator leaves, and it's just us trying to teach these
A, B. That's great.
So we did that, and then we visited one of the workers there that we got to know really close. Hardest working man I've ever met in my life, 59 years old. This guy is buff, like cut up. I mean, he's just like amazing.
Wow.
And he works nonstop. You never see him when he's not carrying a bucket of water or carrying a bag of food or carrying something to help somebody.
Wow.
And so we went to go visit his family, and he has a sick son, and he lives about as poor as any person on the planet.
Yeah.
It's in the slums of Carfu, and we went over there, and it was just like tucked in this alleyway. Like his house was nothing more than a few bricks stacked around in this little alley. And so we went in there and we prayed for their family and we sang songs with them, and that was great. And then we came back and we did a food distribution to what they call the shanty town. If you can imagine in comparison, what they call the shanty town is the Haitian that was with us said, all these families live in shelters. They don't live in homes. They just live in shelters. And so we handed out, we went up to this place that sold the rice. Mm-hmm. And we bought 8 more bags of those things and carried them once again. So wow. You remember whenever you were saying that God calls us to be ambassadors?
Oh,
but
yeah.
But circle the word ass in there?
Yeah.
I was carrying,
you were
I was
being
carrying this bag of rice
literally. That's
on
great.
My back. And I was like, I told Melanie, I was like, well, I guess I'm being an ass today.
So, but
yeah, we really did feel like beast of burden. And,
that's great.
And so we were carrying the bags and we packed them into little bitty family size kits and we handed them out to over 60 families.
Wow.
So there was that. And then we did the soccer thing with them and played with the kids. And that was lots of fun. And then we helped with the feeding of them. And so it was just
so what kind amazing. Of what kind of meal do they get?
Rice and beans.
Rice and beans.
With sauce.
Ooh.
I don't know.
So that's...
So it's like an onion sauce or something. It costs about $100 a week to feed them because there's about 100 of them, a little more, and it's about $1 a plate.
Wow.
And so it sounds really cheap, but when you've got that many and...
Is there a way you can give to that?
Yes, definitely. If you guys are interested in doing in helping us with this... we are on the internet. The name of the company is Footprints of Charity. And you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/footprintsofcharity. And you can find us, our website is footprintsofcharity.org. And on that page, you can go to the donations page. You can give one-time donations. You can set up a monthly contribution. In the future, what we're working on is all these kids from that little town. I've got all their dossiers and photos of them.
Oh, wow.
And I'm right now getting them together to make a an online place where you can sponsor them.
That's great.
So we're going to try and sponsor the kids at about $20 a month, and what that money is going to go directly into the hands of the Haitians.
Yeah.
So we got very little overhead. It's not like donating to the Red Cross or the American Way or any of these big corporations, right, that have, you know, a whole lot of overhead.
Right.
We get the money straight to the
That's
Haitians,
awesome.
And it'll the donations and that sort of thing will also help fund some of the things we do on the trips.
Mm-hmm.
We have some overhead costs that, you know, that deal with translators and travel expenses and,
sure.
you know, housing and stuff like that we have to take care of, but... But outside of that, yeah, if you guys, you know, are interested in that type of thing and want to help us out, that'd be great. I have to deal with a whole lot is this whole idea of people with the, isn't there plenty to do here?
Mm.
Why in the world are you going over there? And my biggest answer for that is, beside the least of these thing, I think that's a valid point, but aside from that, well, wait a minute, before I go beside of that, Haiti, where we're helping, is the poorest nation in the Western Hemisphere. This is the poorest of the poor, and it's only a few hundred miles away.
Wow.
So, but yeah, the aside from that argument, the thing that I'm biggest about on why we go over there instead of sticking here is, to me, it's all about where you're called. You listen to the Spirit. I mean, if we were all called to Haiti, no one else would get help, right?
Exactly.
And they wouldn't be the poorest nation in the Western Hemisphere.
Yeah.
But if we were all called to work here locally, no one would be going abroad.
Right.
And, you know, the arguments that are constantly made to me, look, I always like to take them back to the first century and say, okay, now wait a second. If they had the same ideology, then we wouldn't have Christianity here in America.
Yeah, that's
because
right.
foreign mission work got it here.
We would have kept it in Jerusalem.
Right. Because guess what? There's still a need in Jerusalem.
Yeah.
So that's right. It hasn't gone away. And so
there will always be a
there will always be a
the
need.
Poor you have with you always.
And so, yes, you had Peter, who was not traveling around a lot that we know of.
Who was called to Jerusalem, really.
Right. But you had Paul and Barnabas.
Called everywhere.
And look what it said in Acts. Whenever Paul and Barnabas went on that first missionary journey, it says, then the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, they went unto Cyprus. So they began their journey because of a calling.
Exactly.
And they ended up going to the edge of the earth as far as they were concerned. The second missionary journey.
We wouldn't have the book of Philippians if God had not called them.
Right, because Philippi is amazing, what we now call Europe.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, they went all the way across the Aegean Sea.
Exactly.
And, you know, and it's just like, anyone could have made that argument. Well, Paul, why are you running off to Philippi?
We've got so many people here that just
Aren't there plenty of people? Yeah. And then you take that into a smaller, like, okay, for example, if I went down to South Dallas to help out in the projects or something, no one here would really have concern with that. You could make the same argument. Are there not plenty of people in the little town we live in? Why am I traveling way off down there to Dallas? Exactly. Or, you know, if I went to Lubbock, no one would have a problem. I venture to say, even if I went to someplace like Seattle, I wouldn't have that big of a problem with the local Christians. But the minute you cross the border, that's whenever they get crazy.
It's kind of it's nuts to me. I think another thing you'll hear is that if you're not doing it here, you're not going to do it over there.
Right.
And I kind of agree with that. I kind of see that. But in the same instance, you know, if God is calling you over there, then He's going to fulfill that calling in your life when you get there.
Right.
You know, it's not about, you know, being the uber spiritual Christian. It's just about following the direction
of
the Holy Spirit.
We've got to stop overanalyzing it.
Yeah.
Because it's about going where you're called. He'll tug on your heart. I mean, like, I've been to other countries. I went to the Dominican Republic. I saw mission work there. I was involved with some mission work there. I saw the need. I saw the workers. I did not feel called to work there. There was not this tug on my heart, even though I did see the need and I did see others doing it. And as I was talking with some of the people that were working there, we were talking about Haiti because it's on the same island. Mm-hmm. And they were saying, well, I've been over to Haiti. I've seen what's over there. It's a huge mess. I know those people need help. I know there's work to be done. However, I just don't feel called to those people. I feel called to these people here in the DR. That makes perfect sense. That's the way the Spirit guides us. That's the way the Spirit works. Your heart is going to be tugged toward one thing or another. It doesn't mean it all has to be good. It has to be done. It has to be done in your neighborhood. It has to be done in the town you live in, in the next town, in the county, in the state. The borders mean nothing.
That's right.
They're
man-made.
Does the wind stop when it reaches a certain border? No, because it's a force from God, and it goes wherever God leads it.
And that's, you know, just to reiterate, we're not condemning people who stay here. The reality is, I tell you what, I went to Reno, Nevada.
Mm-hmm.
You want to talk about a spiritually dead region of the United States?
Right.
Reno, Nevada, in general, that area is the most unchurched place in the United States. It's unbelievable how spiritually dead it is. And if you're called there, I was called there for a while, and I developed a passion, a heart for them, and then God called me here. This is where I'm ministered. You know, this is where
it's all about following Jesus. For crying out loud. And I find most of the people that complain aren't doing nothing.
That's right.
So it's like, okay, when people say, well, why are you running off over there? Aren't there people here? I'm like, you tell me. While I go over there, you can work here.
Right.
Let's tag team this.
Well, it sounds like you have a passion for the people here.
Yeah, you have a passion
what
for the
people. What are you doing
here.
About?
Go take care of them. Let's see it happen. But, you know, but ever it's, you know, that one book Kyle Ottman wrote, Not a Fan.
Right, yeah.
He talked about Christians tend to be the armchair quarterbacks when they're called to be on the field.
Yeah.
You know, everyone wants to be a fan of Christ, and they want to come to the church and sit there and root the guy on who's giving the sermon, but they're not actually playing. They're not, like, engaged with the coach, and they're not, like, running on the field and,
exactly.
and doing anything, but they got plenty to say about what critique the quarterback it. Did sure. wrong.
Sure.
You know? So I think that Christians engage, okay? Make Amen. It so.
That's right. We need it. Definitely. So,
but anyway, yeah, check us out on Footprints of Charity. And if you feel called to help us in any way, that would be a great blessing. Cool. So did you have anything else, or can we move on to news?
Let's move on to news.
All right.
Sounds
awesome.
Good to me.
And now the news.
All right. So, hey, let's talk a little bit more about Westboro Baptist people.
Oh, yeah, because they're always fun to talk
they
about.
They are. So they
I kind of feel bad because it's only about 40 people, and we give them way too much airtime.
We do. But it's so funny to talk about them. The truth is. So they put on their boots and their cowboy hats to go visit a concert.
Woo-ha!
They went out to check out the Brad Paisley concert, and it looks like... They were protesting the concert with signs that says, "God controls all, God hates drunks." Huh, interesting. That's really interesting. There's a famous drunk guy in the Bible, I think. I think his name was Noah. Noah, was Noah drunk? I think Noah was a drunk. I don't think God hated him. I'm pretty sure... Now that I think about it, didn't Noah, like, survive the flood? Anyway, sorry. But anyway, so according to World News Today, it says, country crooner Brad Paisley is currently on road taking his music to fans, but fans weren't the only ones to come out and see him during his Bonner Springs, during his stop in Bonner Springs, Kansas on Sunday. Paisley was greeted by protesters from the controversial Westboro Baptist Church, and he greeted them right back. Members of the church held signs declaring, "Sin breeds violence, God controls all, God hates your stars." And with a likely nod to Paisley's hit Alcohol, "God Hates Drunks." Despite the hit song and sign, Paisley doesn't drink. Interesting. Rather than ignore the picketing people or even argue with them, Paisley selected a different approach. He pulled up and posed for a picture with them. "Westboro Baptist Selfie," or "Westboro a Selfie," he wrote in a caption on Instagram. "Hopefully they can hear the show out there. We'll play loud." So he actually pulled up to him, got out, had them, I watched the little video, it's kind of neat, he has them scoot over, you can check it out on Instagram.
And they scoot over for him?
Yeah, they scooted over for him, and there's a lady proudly holding up her sign in the background, smiling, while he takes the selfie, and it's so funny, it's like, we're protesting you, but that's Brad Paisley, I bet she was a little
starstruck.
That
is genius.
Yeah, that's so great.
Because here's the thing, they love the fact that people... disagree with them.
Oh, yeah.
Because they quote the scriptures and say, that it's good that everyone hates you. You know, like when Jesus says, if the world hates you, know that they hated me first.
Right.
So they're like, oh, we're just like Jesus. You know, all these people hate us because... And so whenever you see them protesting and all these people are screaming at them and everything and driving them away, that's what they want.
Yeah.
This is so, because it's passive aggressive.
Yeah, it's so passive aggressive.
It's so right the opposite of what they are used to.
Right. If you can, another good approach, when Fred Phelps died, there were actually people who went to protest his funeral.
Mm.
But what they went was they held up signs that says, "We're sorry for your loss, family of Fred Phelps."
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
That's like...
I go...
Love your enemies.
That is exactly what they're showing Christ to those people. That's pretty cool. Mm. But anyway, so there's selfie pictures of Brad Paisley with
awesome.
Westboro Baptists out there. Go check it out. So in the news and entertainment, I wanted to put out a challenge, just a little challenge to our buddies over at the... what's their handle again?
FCC, the Finding Christ in Cinema guys?
Yes, FCC guys. Finding Christ in Cinema. I want you to do a little thing on Maleficent, the new movie that came out. on the Disney character from the Sleeping Beauty movie. Right. There's a guy on Christianity Today that wrote a really interesting article about it, and I'll just read you a little blurb from it and then kind of discuss it. I originally thought this when it came out, so you see the... I haven't seen the movie yet, so I want to go see it. But in the... of course, it has Angelina Jolie in it, and she stars as the bad... the evil character from Maleficent.
Maleficent. Is that what... Maleficent.
I can't even say that word. I keep messing it up, so I'll just call it the M movie. So... She stars in the M movie, and it's all about her. That's the name of the name of the character is the M word, and but it tells her story, her side of it. It's kind of like following in the lines of the book Wicked, which told the story of Wicked Witch of the West. Remember that?
Yeah,
The Wizard of Oz.
I haven't seen it,
but that's actually a Broadway musical. I've read that book, and it tells the backstory about how she became evil. Right.
Okay.
So it seems like there's this kind of like interesting trend going on of showing, you know, why are they evil? You know, back in the day. So I'll read you this blurb. It says, "Watch Walt Disney's animated classic Sleeping Beauty today, and the most shocking moment may well be when Maleficent," I said it right, "just prior to transforming herself into a dragon, openly invokes all the powers of hell." The film was released in 1959, at a time when simply saying that the villain was evil was both a sufficient and satisfactory explanation for why she must be opposed and defeated. Not anymore. Today, villains need origin stories. Evil must have a psychological, sociological, and biological cause. Today, we reject the doctrine of original sin. Instead, we preach that man is the measure of all things that is, at least individually, inherently good. Okay? So that's his take on it.
Gotcha.
So, like, there was something that happened psychologically to her or in her life that messed her up, screwed her up, and so now she's evil. And so everybody's inherently good when they're born, but something happens to mess them up. And what he's saying is nobody today embraces the idea of original sin that says that, you know, we were born evil, that all men are evil, all men have sinned, which is what the Bible says. So the question presents itself, does that movie represent it? I don't know. I don't know if I agree with that.
Well, it's
kind of
like the Star Wars prequels.
Yeah, exactly. Like, how did Annie turn in, this innocent little Annie turn into Darth Vader, right? That's right. Luke. I'm a really good Darth Vader person. Even this one, we talked about X-Men. How did Magneto turn into Magneto?
Because
you're
torn about, especially in these last couple of movies, I mean, you really feel for the Magneto character.
Yeah. You kind of want to cheer him on when he has the gun aimed at, you know, especially they made it Nixon, which is even, you know, better. They had the gun aimed at Nixon.
I'm not a mutant.
That's so great. So, but, you know, the question exists, so... Are they saying that... I don't think they are. I do believe that there are things in your life that happen to make you into the person you are. Mm-hmm. I absolutely believe that. But I think that there dwells within you an original thought to be that way. Mm. And what happens is you allow your conscience... Like Romans 1.
Right.
You allow your conscience to go in that direction. Right.
Yeah, we have like, yes, there are influences on us, and yes, there are environmental things and all that. But aside from that, there has to be something else going on in some people's. I mean, how do you get to be, you know, what's his name, Charles Manson, or I mean, how do you get to a point to where you're a cult leader, killing babies in the womb with a knife, you know?
Or, you know, a good example of this is Jeffrey Dahmer, who, after he was caught, was very repentant. And actually, from what we know, he accepted Christ in jail, in prison. And he had an interview, and in the interview he said, well, this is how I got this way. It started with pornography.
Right.
I got hooked on porn to the point where I went in that such a direction. So what happened is, was he, you know, was he evil to start out with? Yes, he was.
Yeah.
Because he had the spark of evil. And what did he do? He cultivated it into full out.
It's like the old ancient Indian proverb, you know, where the he's like, you know, there's a good wolf in me and a bad wolf in me. And the child says, well, which one will win? He says, the one that I feed.
Exactly.
So,
and I don't think there's a problem with the problem. I think it's very biblical because we do have the spark of the divine in us.
Right.
But we also have evil.
We have capability for both.
Exactly. Yeah. And so
that's good.
It's interesting. So, anyways, that's what's in the news. I'll save that news story for next time, just because I don't want to run out of time without our audio thing. But
okay. So yeah, we've got some voicemail.
Yeah, that's great.
So, so before we go into the voicemail, we also got a little bit of listener feedback.
Cool.
We have a review on iTunes that I'd like to read.
Oh, neat.
This comes from the user Saruman 2.0.
Saruman.
Now, I tend to think that this is related to the FCC guys, but I don't know. You guys can confirm or deny it. I don't care.
It's cool.
But it says, as a new listener, I am delighted with their insight and candid thoughts about the Bible and being disciples of Christ. This should be on every Christian's iPod. These guys will challenge you and inspire you to make your faith real in a world of fakes.
Wow.
So, wow, that was really nice.
That's a glowing compliment. Thank you, Saruman. Yeah.
Thank you, Saruman
2.0. Lord of Darkness.
The all-seeing eye sees you.
That's so great.
Oh, wait a minute. That's... never mind. That's
Sauron.
The Sauron. Okay.
Yes, you got to get your mythical.
I got to get
evil.
My J.R.R. Tolkien
straight.
So cool. So anyway, here we go on to the voicemail.
Hey, this is Brendan over at FCC at Finding Christ in Cinema from the GCT Network. I just want to leave a voicemail for you guys. I love that you bring up numerology. I think it is really cool. And one thought that I had. And this was back, like, I used to be, like, a big numerology guy, like, way back in the day. And I kind of died down from it, and here's why. Numbers are infinite. There is an infinite amount of numbers. You can keep going and going on both sides of the zero. To me, that does feel like a little trait of God there. And honestly, this is where I have to step back because, you know, I have this natural curiosity of how do numbers work. And as you mentioned in the podcast, if you torture the numbers enough, they'll confess to anything. However, some things just aren't meant to be looked into that deeply, I think, because they're not part of our plans. They're part of God's plans that we'll never fully know.
Hey, you're using up all their voicemail minutes.
Oh, sorry. Hey, love you guys. Keep up the good work. And I'm signing out.
Okay. So Brendan just left a message. Hey, and they also had a nice little discussion on unity. And
they did. Yeah. Yes.
I'd like to hear that explored a little bit more. That is a topic that in today's church that can't be preached enough. And I like that they were much the way that I feel. Hey, you know, we have presented unity in the wrong light. Unity does not mean as long as you agree with everything that I say, then we can have unity. That's not unity. We are to unify around one thing, and that's the person and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That is the beginning of unity right there. So you guys over there at the Theonauts, keep up the good work. It is awesome to have you know, Christian brothers out there that are also podcasting. It is a lonely field to be in.
Okay, so I think that's all I got. But, okay, no, first off, I have to explain it. That was not an actual voicemail on our voicemail. That was a voicemail on their podcast.
Which is cool.
So, so and it's like Brandon said that he didn't have he meant to call us, and Michael, which is the other host, was like, well, go ahead and do it. So so they did it right there. So, okay.
That's great.
On the numerology thing.
Yeah.
Great point.
Yeah.
Brandon. The thing that because it nails some of the points that I hope I tried to make in the podcast home, that you can torture the numbers
right.
to the extent that they'll give you any information. Okay.
Right.
So don't go crazy with it. And that's the message, is to do this, study this in moderation.
Yeah.
And find the things that are obvious, find the things that have relevant symbols
yeah.
to the Christian faith, and the things that are on the surface level of the Bible. And that goes for any type of symbology.
Again, yeah. Well, I was going to say, you can't, numbers are infinite. So almost it feels like it could be circular reasoning, that it could be, you know, you can do anything you want with it.
Right.
But let me just point out that you can do anything you want with Scripture itself.
Exactly.
Right? You can exactly. say, you can take Scripture.
You can torture the Scriptures
and
until they confess.
And they can say anything you want to where you're, you know, the demon god Lucifer. And mm-hmm. and so you got to be very, very careful handling Scripture.
Right.
You,
it's total. All about proper usage.
That's right.
That's, I mean,
that's good.
Prophecy. That's good. There are guys that are huge prophecy studiers. But what they do is they end up getting crazy on it.
Writing books that turn into epic failing movies.
Or they end up predicting dates and
oh,
and
man.
Doing all kinds of wacky things.
That poor guy. What was his name? I can't remember. Do you remember the radio host? What was his name? I'll bring
I'm not
him.
Sure of which one you're talking about. But
he was the one that was just recently like...
It seems like I remember that. We'll have to do some homework on
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I forget his name. But how embarrassing
but
is
yeah,
that?
But yeah, it's the same.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with numbers. So,
right.
okay, the one thing you mentioned about it is that it was infinite, and that shows that it is a that it is in God's territory.
Yeah.
That makes it interesting to me.
Oh yeah.
Because I want to be as close to God as I can, so I want to delve into the depths.
Sure.
Of what is God doing with these things? And I'm never going to understand it all. But...
Are you sure?
I hope I never get to the point where I think I'm through. Okay? So...
If you do, then we'll stop this.
So the thing is, make numerology an enjoyable study.
Yeah.
A lighthearted study. Not an ends to some... Or a means to some weird end where
right.
you're trying to prove a point or whatever... Use it for affirmation.
Yeah.
That's the biggest value for me. So.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's good.
And then Michael chimed in there on the end
yeah.
because he
unity.
Liked our unity discussion.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, we're about out of time. Sorry, Michael. No, but we did talk about unity in the previous podcast,
right.
and just a little bit.
Yeah.
And so we've said this before, but I think here's what we should do, because we've wasted this whole
just hanging out,
time
talking,
hanging
God.
Out. So
yeah.
here's what we're gonna do in our next episode. We will dive headfirst
yeah.
into this issue of unity. We talked about it a little bit, but that's just like the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah.
So amen, amen, and amen on what you said.
That's right.
We will follow up on that and definitely moving forward, we'll talk about this in a lot more depth. So we'll spend some more time on it.
That's right. That's so good.
So you guys out there in iPod land,
better known as Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Continue to listen to us. Download our MP3s off the website and off iTunes and off Stitcher, and go on there. Give us some stars. Give us some feedback. Leave some comments on the website. Leave us voicemail 972-885-7270, and let's talk. And let's share a little bit more.
In the meantime, figure out where God wants you in missions and go do it.
Amen. Pick up your cross and follow him.
That's right.
All right. Thanks for being here, Jeremiah.
Hey, thanks, David.
All right. God bless.
Bye. This has been the Theonauts Podcast. Call us with your questions or comments at 972-885-7270. That's 972-885-7270. We'd love to hear from you.